joining us via the phone is Brian Costello of the New York Post, talking all things Jets. Brian, welcome into Houston and Huber. How are you doing this morning?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Now, Brian, we're down here in the South, and we see the Jets on television. Most of the time, it's media related. Kind of talk about that relationship, get things started. What's that relationship really like covering the not just NFL team, but specifically the New York Jets? We joke that it's in their contract that they have to do something to get in the media.
Yeah, it's different. I think I haven't covered another NFL team, but I definitely see the differences. And they always seem to be making news, which is good for us. It's not quite what it was a few years ago. I think it was a lot crazier a few years ago. You know, 2 years ago when they had Tebow, that was like constant 24-hour, 7 days a week. There was news. It's calmed down a little bit in the last couple of years, but yeah, there's still a little bit more than other teams with them saying some crazy stuff sometimes.
Well, you know, covering the Jets, they've had some talent on defense without question. Offense has been a question mark consistently. Is this team? I know Rex, he's going to have the defense ready. Is this team, in terms of their offense, ready to take the next step and maybe make this Jets team a contender?
Well, I mean, they should be on paper. They added Eric Decker at wide receiver. They added Chris Johnson at running back. Geno Smith's now in his second year, so you would expect him to be better than he was last year. They drafted Jason Morrow in the second round, tight end from Texas Tech. So, you know, they made some moves this offseason to improve the offense. Now we have to see it on the field and see what happens. But you would think that they would be better. You know, how much better is the question, really? They were 25th in the league in offense last year. If they can be, you know, 13th, 14th offense and Rex can get the defense back in the top 10, then you're talking about a contending team, I think.
Now, in terms of what's going on with the Jets, and we're going to get to you about the Milner, but I have an opportunity to talk. Rex is like no other coach in the league, in my opinion. He's a character. How much of that is for show, and how much of that is really just Rex Ryan? That's just the way he's going to approach the game. I grew up watching his dad, so how much of that is Rex, and how much of it is for show?
I think about 10% is for show. I think it's really just mostly Rex. He's a very, very confident guy, especially in himself and his abilities as a defensive coach, and that comes through with some of the things he says. Every once in a while, you can tell he's saying something for a reason, for a purpose, and I think that's just for show. You know, especially when it comes to certain players, he tries to build them up through the media and pump them up. But for the most part, I think it's the genuine guy. I mean, that's the way he is, and if you talk to him, you know, when the cameras aren't on, that's the way he is. Sometimes even more when the cameras aren't on. So,
now that's interesting,
that's
Brian.
The way he is.
Geno Smith was recently ranked the worst starting quarterback in the league, and as a Buffalo Bills fan, that's really good news for me. But what kind of expectations are you expecting from Geno this year?
I think the Jets are expecting him to take a significant step forward from last year. The biggest thing is cutting down the turnovers. He had 25 turnovers last year, 21 interceptions. You know, they obviously need him to get that number way lower. They want him to run the ball a little bit more this year, take off, use his feet. He kind of did that at the end of last year, and they were very encouraged with the way he finished the season last year. He had the second highest QB rating over the last month of the season. They won 3 or 4 games. He played a lot better than he had at the stretch in November right before then. So, you know, I think they feel pretty good about him. Right now he looks confident. He you know, his teammates say he's got a very much better grasp of the system. He's been calling the plays more authoritatively in the huddle. He's calling audibles. He's showing him more confidence in himself. So I think they're encouraged, but, you know, it's July. We got to see what happens in September and October and November when, you know, it counts before you're convinced that he actually is making that progress.
You're listening to Houston and Huber. Is 7:08. We're speaking with Brian Costello of the New York Post, talking all things Jets. And, you know, Brian, down here, we love defense. in Tuscaloosa. Yeah. And we can relate to the way the Jets play football in terms of the importance of that cornerback, that shutdown corner.
Right.
You guys, your top two draft picks was of course, we just talked about Geno. The other one, D. Milner. Both of those guys, rocky beginnings into the rookie year. Milner getting benched. Now closes out the season and comes out this past weekend and says, I'm the best in the business at my position. What are the feelings in terms of the Jets and where D. Milner is coming into this season?
I think they're really high on him. You know, I think they really feel like he can be that number one cornerback that they need. And I think the proof in that is more than words, the way they approach this offseason. They cut Antonio Cromartie for salary cap reasons, but the thought was they'd probably bring Cromartie back at a lower salary. But instead, they just let him walk to Arizona. And then there were some cornerbacks on the market, Vontae Davis. There was Dominique Rogers-Cromartie. And the Jets were in on them. They did try to get them, but they jumped out when the money got too high, you know. So they kind of put all their chips on D and said, you know, you're going to be the number one guy. They added Dimitri Patterson, but he's clearly a number two cornerback. And then, you know, the going to the draft, people were like, oh, they're going to take another cornerback. And they didn't in the first two rounds. They waited till the third round. So, I mean, he's not going to be a factor right now. So I think they're very confident in D. They liked what they saw at the end of last season, like you mentioned. You know, he went against Josh Gordon and Mike Wallace in the last 2 weeks, played pretty well. He was the defensive rookie of the month in the AFC for December. So, you know, they feel like last year he was really hurt by missing. He missed all spring after shoulder surgery. He missed a lot of training camp. He was holding out. Then he hurt his Achilles. They feel like he really stunted his growth. And now this year, with a full year in the system, he'll be a lot better.
Well, and Brian, as you look at the Jets, I know how important D. Milner was to what Coach Saban wanted to call. How much of Rex Ryan's defense depends on a Darrelle Revis or a young D. Milner that believes he can be the man? How much does his defense and what he does out there depend on that shutdown corner?
Oh, it's huge. You know, when Revis was here, that was the key to the whole defense was, you know, Revis taking off half the field and then Rex could do whatever he wanted with the rest of the field. So if they can get that with D, you know, that would be a huge development for Rex's defense and really free him up to be the creative, you know, blitzer and everything that he was. And we didn't really see that last year.
And, you know, in the rest of the world, Brian, when they hear statements like, I'm the best, I'm not going to say somebody that plays the same position is better than me, I want to be great, that's the difference between players that are in the Hall of Fame and not in the Hall of Fame. When the rest of the world hear those types of comments, they go, oh, he's being arrogant, he's being cocky. Does this type of statement and confidence endear him to the Jets fans more so than it would most places?
I don't know. I think sometimes the Jets fans get a little weary of it, too. you know, I think that there's two sides of it. Yes, you like him to be confident, but the other side is, especially with D, he had a very tough rookie season. It's like, why don't you go out and do a little first before you start talking? You know, I think there's a lot of eyes rolled at what he said. You know, he's obviously a talented player, but he's got to start doing it. He's got to get some pelts on the wall, like Rex likes to say, before he can start talking like this. So I think he probably got talking too from the Jets organization after he said that, and I doubt you're going to hear many statements like that going forward from him.
Well, as we look at this year's season, Brian, what are the expectations, realistic expectations for the New York Jets in the 2014 season?
I think they're like most teams in the NFL. You know, they're in the middle of the road. They can, depending on injuries, depending on how the schedule falls, with, you know, how teams are when they're playing them, depending on the breaks, you know, they can finish somewhere from 10-6 and they could be 6-10. You know, it just depends on how it goes. You know, my feeling is always there's about four really good teams in the NFL. There's like four really bad teams in the NFL, and then there's a bunch of teams in the middle. And I think the Jets are in that middle right now. And usually it just goes, you never know how it's going to go for those teams. It just depends on a lot of things and how it breaks. And, you know, I think the Jets are in that category right now.
Now, in speaking with Brian Costello, New York Post, talking all things Jets, but I got to throw in a New York Giants question in for you. Here in Tuscaloosa, we hate the team across the state.
Right.
What when it comes to the Jets and the Giants, what are the thoughts of what's going to happen across town with the Giants this year?
Well, they got a lot of question marks too. You know, they're similar to the Jets with Eli's coming off his worst season as a pro. I mean, at least since his rookie year. So then no one really knows what he's going to be. You know, can he recapture what he was a few years ago, or is he going downhill now? They added a ton of pieces in their secondary. They ended up signing Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, who I talked about before, to bolster that, which they had a big problem there last year. They lost Hakeem Nicks, so there's questions at receiver. You know, their offensive line is rebuilt. There's a lot of variables there, a lot of question marks there. It's you know, a lot of people in New York are worried that it's going to be another season where both football teams are non-factors, because it's been that way the last 2 years, really. The teams haven't made the playoffs, which is, with two teams in New York, usually there's only one team in the playoffs. You know, the few years ago, the Jets had their run, and the Giants won the Super Bowl, but the last couple of years, there's been a drought. So I think there's a lot of big concern this year that everyone's looking at 2-8-8 teams again, and it's going to be a quiet January in New York. So we'll see. They both have a ton of question marks.
Is it better to be a Jet or a Giant?
It doesn't matter to me.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
And it's nothing. The rivalry here is nothing like Alabama, Auburn. It's Jets and Giants.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Brian, we appreciate you getting up early this morning to join Houston and Huber. Brian Costello, New York Post. Thanks, Brian. Have a blessed day.
All right. Thank you, guys.